This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Itwana Krahita. 10 days ago, the Secretary of Homeland Security announced a decision to terminate temporary protected status for El Salvador. This follows a similar decision in the fall to end TPS for Haitians. This protected status was offered to Salvadorans following an earthquake in 2001. The designation officially terminates September 9, 2019, and could impact about 200,000 Salvadorans living in the United States, including Northwest Arkansas resident Barbara Gutierrez. At the age of 31, the mother of two has spent most of her life in the U.S. and considers it her home. Earlier this week, she came to the Carver Center for Public Radio to speak with me about her now uncertain future. She began the conversation by describing her solo journey to the United States as a teenager.
I was supposed to move on September 11, 2001.
Really?
That was my flight was going to be in the morning, but it got canceled because, obviously, of the attacks. Somebody called my mom, somebody from church, called my mom and said, don't let her fly to the U.S. because there's something happening. And we turned on the TV, and there it was. You know, we saw as it was happening. And by then, I was still 14. I was going to turn 15 in 2 days, so my birthday, September 13th.
Oh.
So, and then my flight was delayed 1 week later. So I turned 15 in El Salvador. We usually have our quinceañeras with 15, but obviously my stay there was not planned. So I didn't have a party planned, but that's besides the point. And I flew to the U.S. the next week, and I flew by myself with my guitar and some clothes. And, you know, I was really happy because we were coming here. And when you live in El Salvador, you hear of this country, you know, it's the land of the dreams. And that's where you want to be. And it's not that we don't love our country, and it's not that it's not beautiful or that it lacks. It's just human beings tend to want to be in a better place all the time. And so, obviously, you hear all these beautiful things about the U.S., and that's where you want to be. And so at 15, I wanted to be here, and I was really happy to be moving here, although it was very ambivalent because I was sad to be leaving my friends, but also happy for a better life. And so after the earthquake that same year, that's what pushed my mom to, you know, bring us here.
So how did you end up in Arkansas?
My mom's siblings had traveled here in the 80s. They went to California. And my uncle, one of my uncles, was a truck driver. And he passed by Arkansas one time. And he, I guess, stayed here for some nights resting in his truck. And he explored some, and he liked it. So he brought his family here. That was in 1995. And everybody just kind of followed because we go by word of mouth, you know, hey, you know, I found this place is really nice and there's a lot of work. And so automatically people just go. And so I had a lot of family here. My family is a the Tejada family. One of my cousins played for the Arkansas Razorbacks.
Mm-hmm. Alex.
Tejada.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So you yourself went to Springdale High School.
Yes.
What was it like for you to come to this completely new country because you didn't know English?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I did not know English. Although in my country, you take some English classes, kind of like you take a second language here, mm-hmm. you know, Spanish or French. But I had some knowledge of the language, but not obviously fluent by any means. But I came to junior high, to a second semester of ninth grade in Southwest Junior High in Springdale. The locker situation was completely new to me. The switching around from class to class was completely new to me. Back in my country, you stay in one classroom with the same teacher all day, and your elective teachers just come to the classroom, and you have one set of friends, you know, 20 or 25 friends that you spend your day with every single day. And here is like, you know, you go from classroom to classroom, and the lunchroom, there's so many people. And so it was very intimidating. I spent a lot of days in the bathroom crying during lunch because I had no friends. And there were some Hispanic or Latin people here, but they were not from the same place I was, and they didn't understand how I spoke in Spanish. And so it was just very awkward for me. And although I was happy to be here because I knew I was in the land of opportunity, it was still quite a shocking experience for a 15-year-old to go from, you know, a comfortable school and comfortable situation and comfortable friends to completely new everything.
But you learned English and you graduated from Springdale High School, and yes, you've been quite active in the community, all the things that you've done. Yes. Can you tell me about some of those?
My thought is if I'm going to be in this country, I want to better it. I want to contribute to my community. I want to be valuable, and I want to enhance my community. I want to be an example, you know. And yes, we all make mistakes, and I've made mistakes. But I just want to be better, and I want to contribute to my community. And so I've been very involved, especially in my early years after high school, with the Hispanic Women's Organization of Arkansas, with LULAC, with the Single Parent Scholarship of Northwest Arkansas, which thanks to them I've gotten my education, my higher education. And so that's my thought, is if I'm going to be in a country is not where I was born, I want to contribute. I want to make it better.
You have become a part of this community. You're here under the temporary protected status that we've heard a lot about in the news lately. And if I understand correctly, the way that it works is that it is renewed.
Yes, okay. Every year. Mm-hmm.
And so what is that process like for you? Do you just have to fill out a form, or mm-hmm. how does it work?
Well, it's one packet, mm-hmm. And you have to, you fill out a form, and there's different pages. And it's basically information like, have you committed a crime? You know, very basic. And it's the same information every year. And you just send in whatever amount of money they ask, which is around $600 or $700. Plus, if you hire an attorney, then the attorney mm-hmm. fees. But to me, it's been a blessing to be protected by that status. I am very grateful and very fortunate to be able to work legally in this country and to have a driver's license and to be able to have a social security and to be able to pay my taxes and do things right. It feels right to do things right. And I'm just very fortunate, and I am grateful to be to have been so welcomed by my community, because I have been welcomed. I know so very many different people that have helped me and that I've helped, and it's just an interchange of love, in my opinion, and I love where I live. You know, I would be sad if I had to leave, but I trust in God that He's going to do the best for everybody. He's not going to just leave us hanging. I know there's a bigger and better plan.
Now, with temporary protected status, you have to keep renewing. And every year when you renewed, has that ever been in the back of your mind, like, oh, what if it's not approved this time? Because, you know, the word temporary is in there. Mm-hmm. But has it ever been a concern for you? Or is it one of those things that you get comfortable because you've been here for so long and mm-hmm. it's just, you know, something that you do now? You fill out the form, you get a new form, mm-hmm. on you go.
Well, there's always every year that the time approaches to renew the work permit, there's always something going on in the news like, oh, it's not going to be approved this year. And, you know, that is always in the back of your head. And like you said, the word temporary is in there. I mean, you know, you're not going to be here forever, or maybe not in that under that protection forever. So it is in the back of your head, but I think part of us is, you know, we get comfortable and we just go on with what we have and what is given to us. And I think in my experience, I've just made the best of my work permit. I mean, I take advantage of it. I work and I I really take the juice out of it. but yes, I mean, there's that fear, I guess you could call it, hesitation and confusion a little bit, like, you know, what's going to happen in the future with us? There's so many of us here, and there's so many of us back in our country that depend on the income of the people who are here that send it back to their country and their families.
This time around, there was something in the news about, you know, it was coming up for renewal again, and they might not approve it, and then they didn't, mm-hmm. which hadn't happened before. So what was your reaction?
I felt just very confused about life. I think it's very hard news to take in, and it's the type of news that can affect your life in every way. It's not something that's solved easily because there's nothing individuals can do. Like, there's nothing I can do as a person to fix it. And so there's that feeling of, you know, frustration that you can't do anything about it. It's like you depend on somebody else to make that decision for you or to fix it for you. But again, I think, like I said, God is behind all of this, and I think there's a better plan, you know. And if it's not here, if I have to go back to my country, I know I'll be okay because I'm a hard worker, and I have faith and I believe in God. So I know I will be okay at the end, but it's just, I would like to stay here legally and continue my life the way it is. I have a great balance with my children. And, you know, I have just a peaceful, loving life. And we all want that. And I think we all deserve that kind of life. We all deserve peace of mind. And we all deserve to be happy and feel like we are able to provide in our homes.
That was Northwest Arkansas resident Barbara Gutierrez speaking with me earlier this week about how she reacted to the Trump administration's decision to end temporary protected status for Salvadorans. After this short break, we'll hear more from this conversation, including if this mother of two has thought about how to discuss the possibility of leaving the United States with her young children. That's just ahead on Ozarks at Large.
Ozarks at Large is underwritten in part by the Walton Family Charitable Support Foundation. Additional support comes from Highlands Oncology Group, helping patients fight the battle every day with a team of cancer specialists in both Benton and Washington counties. Services include radiation, CLIA-certified labs, a multidisciplinary lung clinic, and a lung cancer screening program. HighlandsOncologyGroup.com.
This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Yitzhak Nekrajeda. Before the break, we met Barbara Gutierrez, a mother of two who's been living in Northwest Arkansas since 2001 under temporary protected status. The Trump administration's recent decision to end TPS for Salvadorans has left her feeling confused and uncertain about her future. As we continue our conversation, we discuss how, although her status does not expire until September 2019, her daily life is already being impacted.
Most definitely, I have seen changes. The number one change and most noticeable change has been my friends. They're all talking about that. What are you going to do? Or my family members who will also have the permit. They're like, oh, they're all worried. They're all talking about it. It's just like number one thing to talk about right now. Most popular conversation. But number two, it's been the financial situation at home. In my case, I don't feel free to spend money now. I feel like I need to save as much money as possible as I can, because there's an unknown, there's uncertainty in my future, and so I need to be prepared. It brings stress. to you in a way. Like I said, nobody wants to feel uncertain. We all want balance, and when you don't want, when you don't have balance, you have uncertainty, and so it's just hard to live with that, with something that you're not certain of.
Your children were born here, so they are American citizens. Mm-hmm. How old are they now?
They're 10 and 8.
So somewhat old enough to maybe understand the concept of documentation versus not. Have you ever had that conversation with them?
I have not, and the reason is that I don't know what the future holds, and so I don't want to open that window or that door with them, because it's kind of like a subject that's unresolved right now, and I don't want to make them sad or, you know, disturb them with something that not even I am certain of. And so I want to wait for the moment that something is certain, that way I can talk to them about, and, you know, that way I can come up with a plan myself, you know, where we're going to go, what are we going to do, and I know at the end everything will be okay regardless.
So the Trump administration last fall made a similar proclamation about the temporary protected status of Haitians, saying that it wouldn't be renewed. What do you think prompted these issues? You know, why now? Because, you know, it's been almost 20 years for mm-hmm. El Salvador, less for the protected status for Haitians. But mm-hmm. have you given any thought to, you know, maybe like why now?
Mm-hmm. I think it's a topic that's always been there for the U.S. administration. But I think they haven't come up with a reasonable solution because of the amount of people who are here with it. And so I think it's just been put off through the years. And, you know, it's easy to just sign a document saying, okay, just renew it and let another year go, and another one and another one. And I think, just as we have been comfortable renewing our permit every year, I think the administration has been comfortable signing it every year because of the lack of a solution. You know, what are we going to do with all these people? How are we going to tell them, okay, it's time to go back? And now they all, you know, have bought houses, they have businesses, they're paying their taxes, they have cars, they have property, they have families. I mean, it's just like you build a life here, and it's just hard to, I mean, you don't have anything back there to go to.
It's a complicated issue, immigration. Do you have any suggestions as someone from who's being affected by it versus maybe a politician who isn't affected by it? You know, any suggestions for a solution or maybe an area to examine first?
I believe politicians are intelligent people for the most part. And, you know, thank you for asking. I mean, I'm humbled that you even asked that question. I think that we all should think in the most human way possible. We all are vulnerable, and we all deserve a happy and healthy life. And I think we should not build boundaries and barriers among countries. I think God created this land, and when I say land, I speak about the earth in general. God created earth to be able to, you know, provide food and what humans need. However, man has created boundaries amongst each other, and in my opinion, it's sad to see that. However, it's reality, and it's the way that governments control their land. But I think we should just back off just a little bit and think about what God's plan, original plan, is. And I think if we as brothers and sisters unite and help each other, like the United States has been helping so many other countries in the past years, I think if we continue with that mentality, we can do better things. We can do greater things. Because a lot of people who are here from other countries contribute just like I do to our local communities. And that's what makes our country rich. And that's what makes our country what it is. It's a great country. It's a land of opportunity. So I think that politicians should keep this in mind when making their decisions, is what is the original plan for humankind? Unity and love and support for each other. And always thinking about what's best for others and not for oneself.
It's still very new news that the administration is not planning to renew the status. But have you given any thought to all of the different possibilities and what you might do yet? Have you allowed yourself to do that, or are you just kind of going to let this sink in first and then worry about it later?
At first, when I heard the news, immediately, I think it's human nature to start thinking about what you're going to do, what kind of solution you're going to come up with. But after talking to my mom, you know, moms have that effect, that she calmed me down and she said, just, you know, sit back and relax. It's okay. We still have 2 years, about 2 years. And she's right. I mean, I'm just going to enjoy the time that I'm here, enjoy my present, my now, and just worry about the future tomorrow. The Bible says even not to worry about tomorrow, because tomorrow will bring its worries. And so I'm just going to be here and work and continue my life the way it is, saving money and hoping for the best for the future for my children and myself. There are some possibilities. It's not as easy as just saying, ooh, I'm going to apply for residency and I'm going to become a resident or become a citizen. I wish it was that easy, but it's not. I mean, there are possibilities. Some people could sponsor you. Some family members could sponsor you, but there's certain requirements. It's just not easy. It's very complex. And so I have given it thought as far as how, if I wanted to stay here, how I would stay here and what my choices would be. But really, there's not many choices and options for me. So like I said, I'm just going to not worry about it. And I will worry about it when I will have to worry about it.
That was Barbara Gutierrez. The Northwest Arkansas resident is one of about 200,000 Salvadorans who may have to leave the country when their temporary protected status expires September 9th, 2019. She spoke to me earlier this week about how the termination of TPS is affecting her family.